What is up, my pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and you are in store for a brand new episode of the Video Game Bang, Sacramento's number one place for geek and gamery, much like Sacramento's number one spot for comics and coffery. You can go to Oblivion Comics and Coffee. VGB going to be doing an event out there. We got Game of Thrones trivia to go with our new Game of Thrones podcast. I like that. You hear his voice. He is, if he was in a band, it would be called The Reigns of Castamere. What's up, David Webb?
Damn. I'm okay with that. What's going on, everybody?
Here we go.
What the heck is this? Oh, my God. Nexus was here with a $20 donation.
Sorry to interrupt.
What?
$20.01.
Holy cow.
One penny more than Nexus' mom was here?
Your mom did?
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, she just won up the
money. Hang on.
We're going to play Freebird one more time.
She's here, but she's also in chat donating money.
It's crazy.
This is weird. This is
well, she was here.
She was here.
She was here.
If you,
I am always here.
She's always in our hearts. She is a great. She's become a great friend of the show this year. So if you've been listening for any amount of time in 2019, gosh, it's 2019. If you've been listening to the show in 2019, you've heard her voice. Nexi, what's
hello,
up?
Hello.
So how ahead.
Is that as an entrance?
It was a good entrance. I want to say, I thought about you recently. Yeah, I just was thinking about how cool it is to say I have a friend named Nexus now.
Because right?
The more you hang out, the more we say your name and the more you come up in conversations with friends. So I'm like, yeah, my friend Nexus. What? Someone's like, your friend? You have a friend named Nexus?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, we do.
She's a hacker.
Hacking my way right into your hearts.
Hey. Oh, hey. Set that up.
Clip it.
Yeah.
There we go. That's
kids
how,
love it.
That's how that makes me feel.
Why we have kids in the studio audience is beyond me. This is not a kid show.
There are little birds. Speaking of our little birds, what is up, Curtis?
I got this bird on my chest. Well, it's a bat. It's more like a rodent.
What is
it's a flying rodent.
It's a flying rodent. It's man, it's Batman's 80th birthday this week, man.
I love
Detective Comics 1000.
You're on theme. You got the Batman t-shirt represent. I think we even have a little Batman news coming up a little
bit. We have some
later.
Batman news. Oof. We're going to talk about it a little bit. We're going to get into it.
Just Batman rant.
We got some good Batman news like his 80th birthday and Detective Comics 1000, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then we got some other Batman news we're going to get into a little bit later.
If you guys are listening to the show right now in Twitch, this is a audio podcast where you can go download and listen to week in, week out. We've been doing it for many years. We have about 400 episodes. So if you ever want to get caught up and see what we thought of video games in 2006, you can go listen to the old episodes on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, anywhere you could generally find podcasts. And if you're already listening to us there, you can watch us live on Wednesday nights and Saturday nights on twitch.tv.
You really want to have a trip, go all the way back to like season one of video game being and listen to Corey convince everybody that the Windows phone is the phone of the future.
I stand by it. If they would have listened to my advice, if they would have done the things I had said. And actually, funny you mentioned that, seasons, because we started iTunes implemented some new like sorting features.
Yeah.
To help people find your episodes better, keep yourself organized. And when you upload an episode, you can say what season you're in the episode.
Snap. Can we retroactively do that?
I don't want to because I like the fact that we're on season one, episode 476.
Who needs numbers anyway?
Yeah.
After episode 501, we're going to be in season two.
I'd say if we did a season two, it would be like if we sell the name and license to some other schmuck.
Oh, there so who wants it will be like season 9 of Scrubs.
Yeah.
Same game.
100%.
But nothing like the show.
And David Webb will just show up every couple
every once
episodes.
In a while. Yeah. I'll come in and I'll teach somebody something, and then I'm just going to bounce.
So thank you guys for sticking around. Season 1, 476 episodes. I'm glad they keep renewing it. Like we've been getting lucky.
We're really pushing the boundaries, but the bar is set high with Family Guy and South Park, we can... As long as we're underneath those, we're fine.
I would love to see how many total episodes of The Simpsons have there been, like in the
6,423.
That might be right.
Isn't Days of Our Lives though like the longest running television show?
Oh, yeah, because it goes every day.
Yeah, and it's been since like the 70s.
My God,
jeez.
Yeah. Like sand through the hourglass. Wait, is that the right one?
Yeah, I think that was Days of Our Lives. Yeah. Yeah. And it had the little hourglass.
Or is that As the World Turns?
That might be As the World Turns, actually, Webb.
Yeah.
We're not old enough to verify right now. Well, I mean, it's still on,
so we're old enough to know.
That's true.
We just don't care to know.
Right. And they don't use the hourglass anymore because no millennials know what that is.
Now it's just an iPhone with a timer starting. As the timer starts.
It's just an hourglass app.
Yeah, that's all it is. Exactly.
It's just an hourglass app that they just tip.
Just flip your phone.
Oh, that's rich.
It really makes me sad to think there are some kids who see an hourglass and they're like, oh, that's that thing that when a screen is loading.
The worst, the worst is when I saw somebody saw like the old like 3.5-inch, like the hard disks, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, somebody 3D printed the save button. It's like,
oh,
get the hell out of here. Leave. Get out.
Ouch.
Yeah.
It's too late.
You're canceled.
It's too late. You're canceled.
You're canceled.
Canceled.
Speaking of canceled,
finish him.
We got a lot to talk about on the news today, but first I wanted to start with the What You Playing theme song. What you playing?
That may have been one of the smoother transitions. I'll allow that applause.
So that is, of course, the What You Playing. Please calm down, everybody. Calm down.
Way too hyped.
Well, we need to download a shorter crowd applause thing for later. But everybody, thank you. Calm down. That is, of course, What You Playing theme song. It's been some time. Time to get caught up. David Webb, what you been playing?
Apex.
Apex?
Apex. Yeah.
Okay.
Been playing Apex. Have I been playing anything else besides Apex? I don't think so. No. A little bit of Anthem, but mostly Apex.
So you've been playing on PC more?
As of recently, I have played on PC more.
What do you think of the differences? Is there any difference in, like, pacing of the game or strategy, or how do you feel?
Strategy feels the same. Pacing? Okay, so to me, pacing of the game really depends on the play style and who you're playing with. My play style is to go all the way to the back, loot, and work your way inward. But there's other people who I play with who it's just like straight down, let's get into it now, and then those tend to kind of move a little bit faster, I feel like.
The hot drops. Yeah.
I feel personally, and maybe this is just no practice or just lack of coordination, I feel like there's too many things that need to be done for mouse and keyboard. I'm constantly tripping over myself. I hit my special. I was Bangalore. Fat fingered the smoke a couple times. I fat fingered the finisher 3 times, and I was just the whole time I'm like, I'm gonna die. I'm in a hot zone right now. Someone's gonna come up and they're gonna kill me as I'm finishing, and I lucked out and didn't. But yeah,
you just gotta get a second stream deck.
Second stream deck.
Yeah, and just dedicate the buttons to like.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Controller just feels more natural with that game, but I was having fun with it. You and I played a few games the other night with Jada.
Yeah.
And then right after Jada got off. You and I did one more. Our person DC'd.
Oh, so yeah, it was just the two of us.
We duoed. And I don't know what. I don't know if Jada was just bad luck or what, but I was popping off that game.
he went like, imagine you're playing with David. He's throwing down in the team fights, not throwing too many kills in his own name. And definitely no kills when you're not with him. And then this last game, something happened. And all of a sudden, he's like, one near me. And then I'm just watching the kill feed. Webb downs one. Another one, bam, Webb downed it. Holy shit, I couldn't even get to him before he wasted his whole squad.
I ran in, because, like, we dropped, and we thought we were alone, and then all of a sudden, like, as we landed, we saw, like one more team, so I just dropped, went through the door, scooped up whatever gun it was, booked upstairs, and just started lighting people up.
Those are the best feelings in that game. The reason I hot drop a lot in that game, especially, like, as I play more and more, is because you get, like, especially at the beginning, you got to warm up, it feels like.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can't drop and then play for 30 minutes, have, like, 2 team fights, and then get slaughtered immediately. Right. And I'm like, oh, that was absolutely a waste of my time.
Yeah.
So I like to hot drop, get a bunch of kills, or try to at least, warm up the aim, and then you start going for those longer drops.
Well, and that's how you get better, too, is hot dropping. Like, you get in there, you get in the fight, that's how you get better at fighting, and you don't freeze and shoot at the ankles.
Like, another great moment from David Webb the other night.
Landed on the drop ship where all, like, the weapons are and stuff like that. Everybody lands there. Jada and Corey get, like, downed, like, almost instantly, and somehow I survive. I'm, like, lurking in the shadows. I'm living in the shadows, slithering through the shadows. And I, like, They're like, they're downstairs. So I ammo up and everything, and I drop down, and I turn around, and, like, I was not expecting somebody to be right there. And I just, like, ah! And I just, like, I didn't aim. I just started shooting.
What was crazy, too, is this is the bad thing. Apex puts your shit on blast.
Yeah.
So, like, if your teammate is down, you're watching your last teammates, and then you're on the, like, the lights are on. Everyone's looking at you, criticizing, backseat driving. Like, being the last guy is super hard because your buddy's like, oh, he's around the rock. Go left. Go right. Don't smoke. You know, like, no, just let me fucking play this. But then they also see your whiffs.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you're shooting and you're hitting, like, ground and, like, looking a mess, then unfortunately, poor David Webb. A guy drops in front of him, and you just see the spraying, like, at his feet in a complete panic before he gets murked.
I saw a patch note that that what's-her-name's hitbox is bigger down at her pants because they're baggy. And so that's what I thought was going on. Lifeline. Lifeline. You know, she has those baggy pants. The hitbox is larger down there.
That's, everybody knows that.
It's logic.
Reddit logic.
Reddit totally. Logic.
Reddit.
Nexi, what you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Magic the Gathering Arena and some World of Warcraft recently.
I've been
really invested in some high fantasy.
I respect it, but I want to cheat because I'm all-knowing, and I know you've been playing something else quite a bit lately.
Yeah, I have been spending, like, hours these past, like, couple nights on VR chat. I have just invested myself in VR chat.
I'm so afraid to go
explain,
to VR
Please
chat.
Explain it to Curtis.
I'm so Nexi, afraid.
Because I don't even know.
Like, the best way I could explain it is, like, random people all around the world on the internet get together in weird, like, avatars and just talk or troll or do whatever. That's all it is.
Nice. That, like, sounds like Ready Player One a little bit. That's pretty cool.
It's the beginning of Ready Player One.
Oh, the book or the movie?
It's
no, not like the beginning, like, of the actual story.
Oh, this is like the beginning.
Where it starts.
Oh, okay.
This is the groundworks.
Nice.
It's like you see someone in VR chat. They're, like, taking off their headset if they're using, like, the actual VR set and everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see them, like, moving, and it's like that's how Ready Player One should have been. Like, actually kinda seeing them taking off the VR set.
Is it? Don't they do that in Ready Player One? Like,
do
you
they?
See, you see their hands go up, and as they move their headset off, they get Thanos.
But they the way Thanos'd. But the way that they do it in Ready Player One is so much, like, smoother, but it's so clunky when you have, like, the whatever the sticks are called, you know,
oh, yeah.
whatever those are for whatever VR headset you're using.
The Rift controls, I think. Right?
Rift? Yeah.
So, like, using those and, like, having your hands move all weird and, like, shaky and everything, it's not nearly as smooth as Ready Player One seems.
No, you've been playing through just a regular desktop. You're not even in the VR.
Yeah, I'm not even doing VR. I don't have that money.
I got that VR money.
Do you think it would be as fun if you're in VR? Because so I've only been in.
Oh, yeah.
I played that game once or twice. Only for less than 10 minutes at a time. Mm-hmm. Just clearing any things out there. But it was like,
You know the group.
Yeah.
You know the audience. Let's just cut that off right at the top.
I get in there, and, like, because you're in it, it feels way more intrusive. So, like, when someone gets in your face, or, like, in a video game, if someone's character walks up to your character and you're just looking at it on a screen, you don't
Third
fuck.
Person.
Yeah. You don't have personal space.
Yeah.
In this game, I felt like my personal space was invaded a little bit when people would surround me or when things were moving around. And, I was just looking through the, you know, the top, tippity top. I didn't start diving super deep. So I picked the one. I was like, it was, like, Japan or something. Rule Japan? Yeah, it's like Rural Japan.
Okay.
Click on that. I didn't think that would be where all the Wii. Of course. It was like everybody speaking Japanese, but they all had American accent types of things. Like,
yeah.
That's
funny. I mean, like, it feels so weird. Like, I imagine it feels so weird being in VR chat with an actual VR set on. Mm-hmm. Because especially with the worst thing about it is having people with avatars that they can, like, activate these weird abilities that will full on, like, mess up your screen. And so you have to have, like, safety settings on, or else you're gonna, like, people have had epileptic seizures in VR chat. There was actually this was about a year ago, a guy had full body tracking on, and had an epileptic seizure, and you see the avatar like go on the ground and the legs twitching and everything.
Whoa.
Dude, you have to have your safety settings on in that game, or else you're gonna get messed up.
That's crazy.
I didn't know it was that dangerous. I might not do. Yeah, people. Oh, it's terrible, especially with trolls in there that just love messing with people in those.
Right.
That's where we got the famous Ugandan Knuckles. Like it started creating its own memes and culture in that VR chat. It's a dangerous place. It is dark and full of terrors. Do not go there.
I invest all my time there now. Yeah. We'll do full interviews. Like next time I'm on the podcast, it's not even me sitting here. It's just like the VR. Avatar. Yeah.
You don't think of the possibilities. Spitball. Patreon exclusive.
Patreon exclusive. We go through, we just randomly, like chat roulette, we just pick a random location and go there.
You have to be so careful, dude. Especially if you're streaming it on Twitch.
Twitch is pretty lenient. It'll be fine.
Yeah, they're fine.
They don't really ban people. It's all right.
So it's a wholesome community. Yeah,
it's a wholesome community. Everyone's going to be, it's going to be chill.
Curtis, what you been up to, man?
Mostly just been 2K. Man,
how's that career? You still what team you bumping with?
I'm on my Kings, baby. I'm on my Kings.
Can they trade you though?
They can. You can get traded, but it doesn't happen. I can request a trade and then get traded, but of course I'm not going to do that.
I was wondering how much leniency they give you in that game, especially like in the career mode. Like
tons. You get a lot but you have to earn it though. So like as you know, you have your ranking. So as you level up your player and you get to certain at 80 or it's 85, I unlocked it. They started letting me pick like the intro music. I could start picking the jerseys that we wear, and then I got up to.
So you're getting clout.
I'm getting clout, man. I got 85, and now I can do like a whole bunch of stuff. I can go and 90. I think you can start saying like, hey, I want this player, trade this player, all this other
not good to practice.
Yeah, all this not good to practice.
Show up drunk.
Practice.
Show up drunk.
Yep. Let's put the thing in the thing.
Let's put the thing in the thing.
We got this.
Let's play some offense.
Get in a Twitter battle with Joe Rogan. I'm sure you can do tons of cool shit.
Yeah, they have social media on there. Like it's part of the game. You know, you do good and you can check your phone. You might get a text message from like a big time player or like I kept like scoring a bunch of points and getting assists but no rebounds. So every game they'd be like, nice game AI, but can you grab some boards? Why are you 6'9" and you can't come? Like they will roast you in that game on social media if you don't do
good.
It's
like real life.
Dude, it's nut. Like Shaq showed up to my loft. Like I went up to my loft and he showed up twice unannounced. And was like, barbecue chicken alert, barbecue chicken alert. And I'm like, Shaq, what does that even mean? He said, when you see a defender, you need to look at him like barbecue chicken. Barbecue chicken alert. It was but what's funny though is it teaches you the game. So me, like at that time I wasn't being very aggressive. Like I was just pretty much passing and like scoring here and there.
And then you got some magic words from Shaquille O'Neal. Seriously,
and I was like, okay, he's telling, because he sneaks in, he says barbecue chicken, you don't find out what it means.
Yeah.
And I thought about it because I watch him on TNT and I was like, I think that means like kill your defender. And then like a few games later he came back and he told me like a little bit more plainly what it meant.
Yeah.
And dude, I started attacking the rim.
Hey,
I was killing it.
Let's
barbecue chicken alert.
I'm gonna rewind.
I gave myself a head rush laughing.
Rewind for a second.
It's heck of funny, dude.
Does he like Nick Fury you? Where you just like walk in your apartment and he's just chilling in the corner?
Dude, seriously, that's what he does. Like I walked in my loft and I went over by the couch and he was on the barbecue chicken alert.
What
barbecue
the hell? Chicken alert.
I'm dead.
I've never been more scared of Shaq.
And then what happens is like, so I went, I played some games, I came back and I talked to my doorman. I was like, hey man, you let Shaq in my apartment? He was like, I certainly did, sir, and I'll do it again.
No! Did not happen in the game.
Yo, watch my streams, y'all. People are starting to come
around. We need a timestamp.
I'll get you some. I'll get you some clips.
Your character in the game bitches at your doorman for letting Shaq in.
Dog, I'm not making this up. People don't know. Like NBA 2K story mode is dope.
It's deep.
Web knows. Yeah.
That's deep
dude,
stuff.
It's hilarious, dude. It's fun.
Next staff meeting, ask Shaq about that.
Yeah. Dude, oh my gosh.
Yeah, next time you have a staff meeting.
Next time you see Boss Man.
Yeah.
Barbecue chicken alert.
That's
barbecue
what chicken. Saying.
Bruh, he will be like, so what do you do here, dude? Obviously, you need a raise.
Oh my god, dude.
I swear. Dude. That's all I gotta say. See, Lost Sheep says it. You just sold this.
Yeah, it's a basketball role playing game.
No
way, 100% is. Yeah. It's crazy, especially in the beginning. It's just crazy.
Start off in China, right?
And work your way back to the States.
Yep.
And then you're back in the States and you get treated to some podunk place. And then they trade you for a sandwich.
For sandwiches, yeah.
And then you get to another podunk place.
Golly.
Yeah.
It's serious. But right now my current goal is we're 3 games out of the playoffs. So I have to get us into the playoffs. And if I get us into the playoffs, then I unlock the next level.
See, that's sick how the game works in consequential. It's actually a branching storyline. If you win at certain parts, this happens. If you lose, you go down to this.
Yeah.
And you could play, it's replayable. It's sick.
It's dope, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's better than some RPGs.
Some of the ones that I hear about. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's got a better story mode than Anthem does.
Yeah, exactly. Or Destiny. God. Okay.
What have you been playing, Corey?
Man, I've been playing back to Overwatch.
Oh, okay. The league's back on.
So I've been so jazzed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the shot got to the finals. So, after see that, and then they came so close.
So close.
And then Baptiste is out. And then they actually announced that for Overwatch Season 2, going forward, they're going to be on the same patch as the game that's live. So Baptiste,
really?
Or it's going to be really similar. So, because usually, a character comes out, then you have to watch, a couple stages, and then they'll introduce the character. But now Baptiste is already going to be in there. He's going to be in Overwatch League.
That's interesting. Did they say why they made that decision?
I don't know if they said why. It kind of makes sense. The meta is so important in Overwatch, especially lately. You know, you're running dive, you're running goats. You know? So the meta was always behind on Overwatch League.
Yeah.
So you're watching the top best players in the world
and then playing
on a meta from 6 months ago.
Yeah. On the flip side, though, having a new player out almost instantly, because more often than not when they have a new player, it takes them some time. Usually the next patch, they're either nerfed or they're buffed or they're adjusted in some sort. So I would feel like they would at least do that before they put them in Overwatch League.
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of a medium, because if something gets broke
Super quick, then
it's going to be broke on professional play, and that's not right either.
Then you got Shanghai coming out on top, and everyone's like, what the hell?
Yeah, for one game.
But I think that was the issue. You got to find a balance in between the two, because they tried the one for sure, and maybe it just wasn't panning out, and they got too many complaints, so they're going to try it on the updated patch, and that will probably be a problem. But in my opinion, that's more of an entertaining problem. And it happens in League, where if something gets super broken, they'll ban a character for a couple weeks until it gets figured out.
Until it gets back, yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be really exciting. I've been trying to play a lot more Baptiste, just garbage hours in arcade, just throwing, and he's so fun.
Is he?
Yeah. But he's a lot of inputs. You have to be a master of all the stuff. This button does attack. This one does. Yeah. This guy can jump super high, but if he does this, heals everybody around. So
you got to know all the tech.
Everything. Yeah. All the tech. So he's definitely going to – I'm not ready to jump in there.
He's a skill character.
He's definitely a high skill character. I need to work my way up to that.
Yeah, good for the Shock, though. Coming in season two, super strong, making it all the way to stage one playoffs. That's a whole different team. That's awesome.
What's the most exciting is that – we were playing, we have one of the only 12-man rosters in the Overwatch League. Most have six sometimes. That means your same guys are always playing.
Right.
We have so many diverse players that play different characters. We have some insane guys like Architect and Sleepy and all these dudes who are just beasts who are masters of different characters. And when they come into the meta, we'll just put those dudes in.
Yeah.
And pick up and run. So it's going to be an adaptable team. So whatever this new meta is going to be, I have a feeling the Shock's going to be in really good shape.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Nice.
Emma is telling the news.
But not really, because she's not here.
Debated.
The wonderful Emma Skies has a convention coming up this weekend, so she's going to be traveling. So safe travels to her. But in the meantime, we got David Webb picking up the slack. What's up? What's in the news?
Okay, so first up, let's talk about, we Curtis alluded to some Batman news.
Yes.
Let's get the rant.
Let's get
out
into
of the
it.
Way. Let's oh get into it.
Let's get into it. Let's get the tea, boys.
Let's get the tea out. It's brewed.
Spill the tea just like you spilled the Red Bull on your
Well, that's what fair. It is for gamers. It's like it's you got to spill the Red Bull.
You got to spill the Red Bull. I spilled a drop because my reflexes are that good. and it's fine. I drank it off my phone. We're good to go. Zack Snyder.
There we go.
Yeah.
Stumbled a little bit out the gates.
Snyder. Yeah. He's speaking of tea. He's out there sipping his tea. And I just want to go and smack it outside of his face. I don't typically get really like upset about directors and like produce like that whole side of the movie. I don't really get a whole lot upset about it and pay that much attention to it. But him and a lot of people hate on him for his movies. And I didn't really care about that. But he's crossed the line.
Well, here's what it is. I before we even get into what it was, I think it was his delivery, because I just heard it from across the room. He wasn't talking like a guy should in his position,
right?
Yeah, where you keep your answers political, you're trying to sell movies at the end of the day. He was totally in a room full of people vibing with him, and he kind of went into
fed,
like the old Chris Farley in Black Sheep. And he's up there. He's giving the politics speech, and they're ramping him up. Then all of a sudden, kill Whitey. Then they weren't with him. But like, up till that, he was drinking his own juice. The people were giving him, and he was feeding off that crowd.
Yeah.
And then he was like throwing out curse words when you're not confident with them. Those guys are like, yeah, you know what? I don't give a.
I need a
fuck.
Count. I need a count on how many F words were in that.
322.
So many
unnecessary ones.
Yeah,
and totally.
None of them sounded natural.
And they were like filler. It was like you and I would be like, he was like, fuck, fucking,
right.
It's like, what?
He started saying like while the audience was applauding with him, and I'm like, I don't get why any of this is happening. And then after he drops another F word. I'm like
like fucking.
Are these words? Yeah. Is this a paragraph? Here?
I don't know what's happening. All I know is that what he's saying is not right on any level.
So what was his actual thing, though?
So his whole thing was that we as Batman fans are living in a dream world if we believe that Batman doesn't kill people.
Even though Batman is made and lives in a dream world.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Kind of, pretty much.
I mean, yeah.
It seems like something so elementary but then to get as he vulgar as he was and like...
He's just so intense about it.
Yeah.
Because apparently all of us lost our virginities to his movie.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are fucking losing their virginities to my movie. And I'm like, Batman kills. What do you mean Batman? What do you guys mean Batman doesn't kill? Like, what fucking world do you live in?
I was like, oh my God, this guy.
Whoa. So he's shooting on people who don't want the gritty side of comics. Like, on old school comic book fans.
Well, not even just that, though. Just the simple fact of him saying, Batman, like, okay, fundamentally, most fundamental part of Batman, he doesn't kill, he doesn't use guns. Mm-hmm. Baseline knowledge of Batman, like, pretty much everybody would know that. And he's going in and saying, like, no, that's not true. Like, bump the 80 years of Batman that's been going on. Me, Zack Snyder, I'm in charge, and I'm saying he does kill, and you're fucking stupid if you think he doesn't.
Yeah.
That's literally
what he said in so many words.
Yeah. He was literally talking about, like, you guys are stupid if you think that your heroes haven't, like, lied to America or embezzled money. And I'm like, those are completely different from killing somebody.
Yeah.
Those are completely different.
Exactly. What are you going through, Zach? What are you talking about? When was the issue of Batman where Bruce Wayne embezzled money from the United States government? I don't remember that issue. I mean, I'm behind.
Right, but I'm not that behind.
Was that New 52? Because...
See, but this is the problem with it, though. There's obviously multiple problems with it, but one of the main ones is he obviously went through something. You know, his daughter did pass away, and that was a very tough time, but we came to find out later that he had gotten fired before that even happened. This is a salty man who, you know, remember, this is the same person who keeps leaking photos way after, talking about how good he would have made Justice League if only he would have been able to keep his gig. And here, I wanted to show Darkseid. And, you know, like, it's like every 2 months he says something new to keep himself relevant. And yeah, he does keep going to these panels that are like an echo chamber where, yeah, he can go up there and say, you know, sniff, fart, double jumping jacks, and everybody's just gonna be like, yeah, Zack Snyder! Oh my god,
he's gonna, fucking farce man, double act,
like,
so he's just perpetually feeding this ego.
He's doing this stuff, but it's also partly the era that he came from, right? Like,
yeah,
and I've noticed this, what kind of how DC has been changing, but he's a part of it. He grew up in the 80s. He was watching reading comic books in the 80s. What was big? Frank Miller's really, really dark Batman. Remember, that was like
Dark, gritty
Batman, the Dark Knight Returns. That's when Batman was like really gritty. Coming out of the 70s into the early 80s, it was like noir Batman and detective Batman. Like the Joker had just kind of really turned into like his arch nemesis. He still had the gray and blue suit with the yellow thing. So it was that Batman. It wasn't Adam West Batman. You know, it was still serious. But then when it got really dark, so many people, like, we like it. We like the gritty Batman and everything. But there's certain people that can't get past that. And what else came out in the 80s that was really gritty that Zack Snyder directed? Watchmen,
yeah, okay.
Remember, Watchmen deconstructed the hero before your heroes were innocent and they were, you know, truth, justice in the American way. They were, and then in the 80s, remember, Alan Moore came in and made it, you know, twisted. They want good, but they do bad things to achieve it. So he comes from that era. He really, really likes the brutality, the darkness, and all that. And that's obviously why he had him kill. And that came from all that era. So he's got that mixed with the saltiness, mixed with he got fired and then Joss Whedon, or Whedon, however you want to say it, ended up doing Justice League. So this is finally coming out more and more. Yeah. And then for everybody who speaks against it at all, your people who lost your virginity to his movie and your nerds and what do you know, go touch a boob or whatever. It's just like, don't be condescending to the people that like actually wanted something slightly different. They just didn't agree with you. Like you said, Corey, like, he just don't talk like you're in a room with a bunch of friends. Be professional.
Yeah. Right. And I think, like, looking in chat, Lost Sheep, Special Cases in the Twitch chat, they're talking about how, like, you know, well, it depends on which Batman you're talking about. And, like, technically, I get in the alternate universes, like, there are instances of Batman where he does kill. Like, you look at Flashpoint when it was Thomas Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he straight up uses a gun and kills people because Bruce, his son, was killed in that alleyway instead of him. So there's this whole thing, like, you know, like...
The
so
Grim Knight that I covered.
Grim Knight, yeah.
Yeah, like another Elseworlds Batman that he killed the dude who killed his parents in the alley.
Right.
So you have the Elseworlds stuff, but not the main line that we know.
Not the main Batman, which is basically, you know, what his movies kind of portray.
Right.
And then, I mean, you can make the argument, like, with MCU, it's technically its own universe, so you can make the argument... His movies are its own universe, and in his universe, Batman kills. And, it's a cop out.
He's not the way he's acting at these panels. He's not even giving someone like you who has a theory about like this even a chance.
Right.
He would just say, "Oh, David Webb hasn't touched a boob. You're a virgin.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, turn on one of my movies and lose your virginity, David.
Yeah,
Webb.
If you don't like my movie, that's a bad.
Get
way
out
to
of
be.
Your false realities.
Yeah. Like, because in the real world, Batman kills. In the real world, Batman don't exist.
Yeah.
What you talking about?
We don't watch these movies to watch the real world.
Right.
We watch them to lose our sense of time and space for about 3 hours and 2 minutes.
Exactly.
That was a really good segue.
Yeah!
That was good.
So Borderlands 3 is coming now. We are
Borderlands 3 hours and 2 minutes.
That's how long it takes to beat the game. No, we will come back to that. But 3 hours and 2 minutes is the now official length of Avengers Endgame.
Well, semi-official.
So where did this come from?
So what it originally came from? Yeah, science explains all. It originally came from notices going out to movie theaters to, and they do this, like when new movies come out, especially if they're big, they'll say, hey, you might want to put out this block of time, you know, arbitrarily, you know, to do your cleanup and, you know, all that stuff. Before and after. But they didn't say the cleanup time. They did say 3 hours and 2 minutes for what the runtime of the movie was going to be. But AMC, like, I think was a theater that had it. We don't have, and then it started to spread around. And I'll say this, because they did the same thing with Captain Marvel. I think they said Captain Marvel was going to be, like they said, Blackout 245, and I think it was a little under that. So I don't think it's going to be that far away from it. And this does include titles, by the way, too. So I don't think it's going to be that far away, but, I mean, so it has to be that big, right?
Does it count previews? So from when the lights go down?
That's a good question. I'm not sure.
Because like Captain Marvel had 20 previews.
Well, on the resources that I was using on the World Wide Web, it was showing like using this and comparing it to other similar of all the movies that have come out so far.
Yeah.
And even to the next shortest movie, it was 30 minutes over what they asked them to.
Mm-hmm.
So that would put this at a whopping 3 hours when the next one was Civil War at 2.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I need a pee-pee break. I can't do this. I can't go sit there at a fucking movie theater.
Oh, I'm not drinking. I'm not eating. I'm breaking my rule. I have a rule. I have popcorn when I go to a movie.
Yeah.
I'm not eating anything. I'm not drinking anything for 48 hours before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For it's like 48 hours. It's like surgery.
I was surprised how soon this movie's coming out. Like, it's right around the corner.
It's a month away.
To my knowledge, tickets are not on sale yet.
Nope.
What are they trying to do to us? What are they doing to us? Oh,
they have us in the palm of their hand. We are wrapped around Kevin Feige's tiny little finger.
They could have made it 8 hours, let's be honest, and we'd all be there.
Are you kidding me? Absolutely. Yeah. I've been like, hey, I'm off for 2 days. Yeah. I need to see it twice in a row, and then I need a day to sleep before I go back to work.
I'm taking 2 days off. That's what I'm saying. Because, so this is the last movie of this phase. The Infinity Saga is over.
Yep.
And so I'm finally doing what Emma Skies does every time a new Marvel movie comes out. Mm-hmm. I'm starting at the beginning and I'm rewatching it. And Thursday when I go before I go see Endgame, I'm gonna go see Captain Marvel.
Nice.
I'm gonna walk out of Captain Marvel and into Endgame. And so that day I'm taking off. And then it's 7 o'clock showing of Endgame. 3 hours and 2 minutes. Like that's 10
that's
o'clock.
A long day.
Yeah.
That's and, a long yeah, day. So that's a lot of work.
I'm off on Friday too. So perfect. Coworkers, if you're listening, I'm gonna be off those 2 days.
I think there should be a rule. If you go above, I start looking at movies. This isn't like super long or abnormal. There are quite a few movies.
Wolf
like
on that, Wall Street.
That King Kong movie. Like there's a lot of movies in recent history that come out this long.
Yeah.
How long was Titanic?
Titanic was long too.
Because two VHSs.
Like, it was two VHSs. Like the,
yeah.
I remember that was like mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Do you know what VHS is?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, just want to make sure.
I actually still have one movie that I watch on VHS regularly, and it's Dodgeball.
Oh, Dodgeball? Yeah.
That was on VHS.
That was on VHS?
It was.
Dip.
Yeah. Dug, I still dodge watch
it. You can dodge a wrench. You can dodge a ball.
What do you think about the movie posters, though? They put out they had a pretty good viral marketing campaign where they had all the actors release these photos, and they were all that were on my timeline. All
right, so the
you're
posters
upset because you say there's spoilers in them.
There are spoilers in them.
They're not spoilers. You think Marvel does anything by accident or uncalculated? How is this a spoiler?
No. So here's the thing. Here's why I don't think it. All right, I have two reasons. Number one, if this was in the trailer, I'd be 100% on board with you. You don't trust Marvel trailers.
Right.
But these are the posters. This is the marketing department. This isn't.
They didn't leak
the
anything.
The Russo brothers.
They didn't leak anything in the plots.
Okay, so the plot necessarily isn't ruined. It's the fact of we already got two people confirmed that they survived the snap, and one person who. To my knowledge, was unconfirmed that she died.
Who? Shuri?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
So, okay.
Because we don't know. In
except for in
War,
the trailer.
So
which
that's,
you can't trust.
That's the complaint, is that there's reveal into some people who made it and some who didn't.
Right.
That we didn't get from the movie.
It's not a huge spoiler, but it's enough to where I was like, I didn't want to know. I wanted
you
to
know what,
be surprised.
David.
I'm not. No.
Like,
don't put me in Emma.
Like. fucking touch a boob, bro.
Like Snyder mode. Corey has activated like, Snyder mode.
You don't think the real world
final form.
That actually just reminded me of a post that I saw earlier talking about Shuri being because mm-hmm. is that the I have never seen Black Panther or Infinity War or anything.
Right.
She's the 16-year-old one,
yeah,
right? The really young one?
She's okay. The young sister,
so,
yeah.
So they were like, oh, it's so unrealistic of her character to be as like smart and technical as she is. And I'm like, you're literally in a world where Norse gods are real.
Yeah.
And you can't believe Tony Stark went to MIT at 15 years old. Right. Yet you can't believe that this girl at 16 is a genius?
Not to mention, she lives in the most technologically advanced civilization in the world.
Right.
Exactly.
So also, to that, okay, all right, so let me go back for a second. The other reason why I'm thinking that this is a marketing department and not, like, a trick from Marvel is I was reading an article about the Russo brothers and or interview with them, and they were talking about when you look at the trailers and how they direct the trailers is very different than when they direct the movie. And the trailers, they look at it as they are constantly in a battle with the marketing to not put in certain things that are going to spoil the movie or put in, like, you know, allude to one or the other. And that's why you have, like, in Infinity War, you had shots of the Hulk, you know, fighting with everybody, and that wasn't even in the movie. And so they direct the trailer differently. It's a different experience. So with that in mind, and knowing that it's a battle between, you know, the directors and the people involved in the actual making of the movie, and then the marketing department, that's where I think there was a...
So you think it was a mistake?
I don't know if it was a mistake, or if it was just like a, no, we want to, this is hype, this is everybody, we want to get everybody on the posters, which is fine, except the way they did the posters is everybody who's dead is in black and white, and everybody who's alive is in color. And so... It'd be one thing if it was just all the posters. It was everybody in the movie. That'd be one thing. But because they differentiated it, it gave things away that was frustrating. And I'm even more upset knowing that Shuri is gone, because I think it would have been really cool. It probably would not have happened, but it could have been really cool, because in the comics, she takes up the mantle as Black Panther. So if she survived, she's obviously going to want to help fight, you know, bring her brother back. We already saw her in combat in Black Panther. If she put on a suit, because she designed the suit, she made herself a suit and suited up with all the Avengers. Right.
Touch a boob, bro.
It would be so cool.
Now you're just getting into speculatory. You're mad because it's not what you wanted.
It would just be so cool.
You probably lost your virginity to the Avengers.
Not Justice League?
Yeah.
Scott Snyder would be so disappointed. You can only use your virginity to Scott Snyder.
I get it. It could, if you really like are that upset about, like, if you take it to you and Emma level where you
okay
know,
well
trailers...
hang on, let's rewind for a second. I'm not at that level. I'm mildly disappointed. It's Emma. That's me.
Emma
me.
Alpha David.
Yeah.
What's
we need
your
to, we need to have Emma in here in like a radio call.
I know, right? Caller?
In chat, because Emma's still in chat. She already said the one time there's a fucking Zack Snyder story and I'm not there.
Curtis, what's your final ruling on the Avengers posters? Is this a spoiler or is this not?
Me, I'm in a totally different category. Like, you could literally tell me what happens in the movie and you're not going to stop me from seeing it and going enjoying it, because the thing, like, and I get it, like, wanting to go in fresh, I totally understand. But I'm a visual person already. I have to see it play out. Like, even when I went to go see Infinity War, I had heard, so, like, you know, I watched the videos when people are talking about the leaks, the fake ones and the real ones, the ones that come out on the test screenings and then they get changed and all that stuff. So I already go after that stuff. But, like, I'm sorry, you could have told me everything that Thanos did in that movie and it still would not have done justice to going and seeing him with the gauntlet doing all that crazy stuff. I mean, I read the comics, so... To me, some of the stuff is already spoiled. I kind of already know some of what's going to happen. In this particular movie, they said that they're not taking a lot from the comics. So, and the other thing, and I get it. But like I said, like a few hours versus just like 2 minutes, I don't think you can spoil all of it. But The posters, I think the posters are dope if we're just talking about the posters themselves. I like them. I like how it's like Avenge the Fallen, you know, and they're obviously leading us down the trail of like, you know, that being undone. So I'm pretty with it. There's a really funny one. I'm not a big fan of the N-word, but there's a really funny one, like a meme that someone did where they did one for Thanos, basically. And, it's like, and all the Avengers ones, you know, it's like Avenge the Falling. And then for Thanos, it's like F them ends. And it's like the Avengers A is in there and everything. I'm like, the internet's so clever.
They did a good job, too. Like, other people were, like, layering them over each other. Mm-hmm. And they were creating really cool images. It's like they were meant to be matched up. One of the Fallen matches up with one of the ones that are still alive perfectly.
That's really cool.
Cool. And then, speaking of great borders, Borderlands.
That was the rougher of the segues. Borderlands 3 teaser is out.
Yes, and I am a massive fan of the series, but I don't think you guys have been super into it, right?
I've played it. I think I'm like halfway through the first one. It's good. It's a good game. It's just one of those things where there's so many games to play that it's just kind of falls by the wayside.
I haven't played it a bunch. It was like my friend threw the controller in my hands, was like, "This game is awesome, play." And I was like, okay, and I played for like 5 minutes. I gave it back to him.
What about you, Nexie?
I've only played like maybe 15 minutes of one of the games. I don't even remember which game it was, but I just didn't really get super invested in it.
Okay, so that's perfect because when I watched that, no, seriously, because when I watched that trailer, my heart was pounding and I was getting so hype and juiced. So I feel like I am not a great barometer for how that teaser was or what it makes people think of the game just from the outside.
Yeah.
What did you guys take away from just the, because it's just a teaser. It's more art than anything.
Yeah. Right. I thought it was sick. I thought it was a really cool way of doing the trailer or a teaser. No explanation, no like nothing to allude, at least from what I saw, nothing to allude to what the story could be or anything like that. It was just simply characters. And some were like iconic characters, you know, that you know from the world, and others were just, you know, maybe new characters or whatever. But just it was like a sculpture, and you're just kind of going through the sculpture, and like to this like really sick song that just kind of matched with everything, and zooming around and seeing like in the middle of like action scenes and stuff like that. It was cool. I liked it.
It was really like beautifully made. Yeah. And like talking about that too, like those still frames, those mid-action shots, and then that zoom out, and then the sculpture, the full sculpture that everything is put together with, how it lights up. And I'm just like, oh my god, I've never wanted to like invest myself in this series more than right now. And that's not even like the actual game trailer,
right?
Like I really want to check it out now.
Yeah, I'm coming from the same perspective as someone who hasn't played it a bunch and like didn't have much interest in it. I'm looking at it like, hey, me as someone who's not even into it, did you like interest me at all? And they totally did. Like I'm whatever trailer comes out next, I'm going to watch it. And then when the game comes out, like knowing that you're into it, I'm going to probably come play with you and just at least see like, you know, what it's like, play again. The first time I played it, like I said, it was just real quick and it was fine, but I didn't understand any of the mechanics. I didn't really, you know, give it a true go. I will now.
What I saw was like the hype of this is one of those games that's done a pretty good job of creating a great world with characters you get invested in. It's got a very unique style and personality and sense of humor. And they developed it so well through the titled games. And then they went off and just did some weird stuff like the Telltales.
Oh, yeah.
And they did like the pre-sequel, which was same engine. It was just taking some villains and giving them a story, which was cool. But we haven't had that true what's a next-gen Borderlands supposed to look like.
Right.
Like, what are we in store for? Where's the story going to go? All these things you left and the world can get so much bigger. And that's the stuff that got me going. And they did a good job, like you had said, of pulling in characters like Brick. When I saw him, I was like, oh my god, that was my boy right there. Hours on that dude.
Yeah.
And they what they did was, what I'm worried, Borderlands has an insane marketing team. Like, they always have been. They've always picked the perfect songs and released trailers perfectly that have all those things we talked about. Like, they lean into the dubstep thing back when that was going on before. The No Rest for the Wicked licensing might have been one of the strongest in video game history.
Like, yeah.
That song is Borderlands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing it for all these pieces and getting just overwhelmed. I can't wait to see more of this thing. It was like a piece of art. And how can you trust a game that doesn't have great trailers? Like, I feel like just the fact that they did this in a trailer is telling me that I should be able to trust this company's decisions and instincts enough to know how to make a good game.
Totally.
It's weird. It's a weird way to think about it. I'm sorry, getting all like.
No, it's cool. One of my favorite things about Borderlands is the art, though, and this kind of like played more into like the artistic style. But I love that cel shaded look.
Yeah.
It's such a cool look.
Yeah, and they've been drawing, like, they've been getting a lot of influence lately, like, that character from Apex, Octane?
Yeah.
He's, like, 100% got to be a tribute.
100%.
Or ode to Borderlands.
Yeah. It looks like the dude that's, in you know, on the cover, you yeah. know. Yeah. With the gas mask on and everything.
All right, so we have one last segment of the show. We have some amazing sponsors. They're called Oblivion Comics and Coffee, Sacramento's number one spot for comics and coffee. Is our drink in there yet? That peanut butter joint?
The peanut butter one?
Yeah.
I didn't check when I was in there, because my favorite one was the summertime one. But the peanut butter one was good too.
This new one that's coming out, if it's not out, it's coming out soon. It was incredible.
So good.
I can't even, they brought us in, a little talk, and we tasted that thing. Incredible.
I finished it.
You know, delicious. They discontinued our toast. Because
they did.
Our toast took so much like effort and so many different ingredients. Like, it was like this show.
It was chaos.
Fucking chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
On a
beautiful
fucking,
chaos.
Beautiful chaos on this toast. And they basically took those ingredients, and that's like the primary stuff for the drink.
That's true.
So it's like the spiritual successor to the Bang Toast.
The next evolution.
The next step. I love it. So
I
good.
Do think they have beer now.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just got that beer, and they're working with King Kong, Sacramento King Kong Brewery.
Yes.
There you go.
Sick. All right. So if that's not enough reason, they also sell comics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's that, too.
They do that as well.
While they have Curtis's comic book corner, they need to give me, like, Corey's calzone corner, and I'll just eat the food live on the stream and tell you how good it is.
Eat the vegan calzones.
Yeah.
The vegan calzones.
Tell us what you got this week.
A few things. We have something that's very topical. This one was actually a recommendation from Ryan down at Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Street Fighter series.
Ooh, perfect for you.
This is Manette's issue right here, and this one was really fun. I'll pass it around so you can check it out. Now, I'll say this. I actually read I'm not currently am I reading. I'm sorry. I jumped back in on that, but I had read the Street Fighter Ultimate and some of the series after that, and it's actually really entertaining. Now, obviously, I'm a Street Fighter fan, so I like the characters, Ken Masters, Ryu, Guile, all those guys, Chun-Li, all the ladies as well, Cammy. So I like the story of the characters. It's more closer to like cartoon. So if you're into like cartoon style, it's got like cartoon type dialogue. Now, it's not super kiddie at the same time, but it's very good. They do a good job of keeping it close to like the Street Fighter style storylines. They've got some good nice solid art, like I said, closer to cartoon style. M. Bison shows up. So if you need a tether to OG Street Fighter, he's in there. I won't spend too much time on that, but I'll say that one was interesting. It was a fun book, really fun. So if you're into Street Fighter, check out that series. It actually won't let you down there. And the writing's not bad. You would think like, oh, you know, it's from Udon Publishing. So you would think like, oh, I've never heard of this indie comic before. Maybe it's not so great. It's actually par for the course. Very solid.
Nice.
What is who are the main characters here?
Manette. Dang it, I forget the dude. I forget the other dude's name.
Is it Ryu?
It was
not Ryu.
I would not.
God damn you! Touch a boob, bro. It's Ryu.
That's the answer to everything. If you're wrong, Zack Snyder says
touch a boob. Touch a boob.
The story was good, and the thing that I will say about those ones is they do very much lead into the next comic. Like, they aren't my normal style of preferred, where it like wraps it all up. It's very much like on to the next one. But what's cool about it is if you take all those covers and you line them up, like they always do a theme where they create like a really cool mega picture.
That's
if you put
sick.
All the covers together. I'm only going to take so much time for Street Fighter, which I love, because today's Batman's birthday, and today is the day that Detective Comics 1000 came out. Jeez. 80 years of Batman. Hey, let's throw it up. Got my Batman shirt on right now. So they did it right, of course, similar to how they did Action Comics 1000. It's a collection of stories from some of the most popular writers that Batman has ever had, along with some of the most popular artists that he's ever had. So you got your Jim Lees and you got your Alex Maleevs and dang, there was another like OG dude that they had in here that was pretty cool. Dustin Nguyen is in here as well. He kind of does more of like a style from the comic series The Batman. But it is awesome. They did also some writers, Brian Michael Bendis, who is he did write a Batman story, I think, in the big giant one that they put in Walmart or whatever, but he's in there. Brian Michael Bendis is notoriously not one of my favorite writers, but he's such a big writer. His story in there was actually kind of entertaining. It wasn't the best. Paul Dini, who kind of gives you more of like the cartoon style Batman, like I said, super fun story, completely funny. And this book kind of, like, to the point that Webb was talking about earlier, this book really reminded me, as I was reading it on stream before I came over here, Eltero 13 was in there with me, and it shows you all the different phases of Batman. It does show you like Frank Miller is in there, and it's got his art and the dark and gritty one. But then you literally have, like I said, Paul Dini and Dustin Nguyen, which is kind of closer to like Batman 66, like Adam West style Batman, where goofy and clunky and funny things happen, and every single one feels authentic. None of them feel forced. You really are like, I do remember Batman was like that. Oh yeah, oh that's right, the detective. He is like that. He will like search and scour the whole earth for these clues just to find, you know, something that I won't spoil. But man, it's good. It did what it's supposed to do. It just reminded us why we love Batman, all the different elements of Batman. Our art is incredible. Oh gosh. Obviously, I don't even have to tell you to get it. Go down to Oblivion Comics and Coffee, pick up Batman 1000. You know, hey, if the VG B drinks are in there, grab one of those too.
Yeah, grab that stuff.
Live a little.
Eat that thing.
But so shout out again to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for letting us check these out and review them and bring them to you guys. We'll have more next week.
Hell yeah. And then don't forget, we have a video game bang Game of Thrones trivia day. We're inviting a lot of our friends in the Sacramento area. It'll be just like a good hangout, like a mixer. So if you love the show, want to meet us, we've seen a lot of you Sacramentans at our other events, and it's always a good time. So hang out, and there's going to be beer this time. I cannot wait. That's my favorite feature, is to get drunk and show that you know things.
Wow, I'm excited.
womp womp. Our resident young person, Nexi, thank you so much. When are we going to start your spinoff podcast? Because we've already got a name, Nexistential Crisis.
Oh, dude, just let me know and I'll be ready to record those whenever.
I mean, I
could start tonight.
What you guys don't get to see is that when Nexi comes over, she usually comes over a little early, stays a little later, chats and hangs out with us and everything. We get to learn more about these people who come through and out the studio. And she has some stuff.
Uh-huh.
That she could talk about. Like, it's always a fun time. So I encourage you to check out her streams, twitch.tv/nexuswashere_.
Yep, there's an underscore there. Even though the Nexus Was Here is not, like, it's just saying this castle does not exist or whatever, like, Twitch says. So I'm waiting for that to come back into rotation so I can take it.
Anything you're going to be streaming lately? Are you going to start streaming your adventures in the VR chat?
No, never.
No, what?
No.
You'll
don't
stream
trust
yourself oh, here talking with us weirdos, but you won't stream yourself
this
talking with those
safe.
Weirdos.
This is safe.
Let the record show that, hey, that's a come up.
Yeah.
That's a come up for us.
Yeah. We've been called worse.
Yeah, we've been called much worse.
But I've actually completely redone my stream schedule recently.
Oh.
I'm now doing Saturday morning Stardew Valley streams.
Saturday morning? Like what time? What's morning to you?
Like
11.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a morning stream. Call it what it is.
It's okay.
11 a.m.
Wait, here's the
That's
thing.
That's a morning.
Though. Here's the thing, though. I struggle so hard to get up before 11. Like, just the day before yesterday, I woke up at noon.
Oh, like, to be young.
Oh, man.
Do you remember those days, David?
Yeah. Last weekend.
But Sundays are dedicated to some Skyrim.
Hey.
Ooh.
We do a little bit of Monday night Magic the Gathering Arena.
Okay.
And then World of Warcraft Wednesdays.
I like the theme.
Yeah.
Way to come up. There we go. David, what's your schedule?
My schedule. I also changed my schedule recently.
Okay.
It's when I feel like getting online. So follow me on Twitter at RealDavidWeb, and I will post. But Corey gave me a good idea of possibly also streaming Skyrim. Because I played a little bit of it, but I got lost and then I came back and I had no memory of the place I was at. So I think I uninstalled it at some point. So I reinstalled it. I'm going to start from scratch. And so, we can go journey through, the land of Skyrim together.
I told you I would watch that shit so fast just because it's one of those games to where it's more fun sometimes when you're watching someone experience it for the first time.
Yeah.
Because that's as close as you can get to experiencing it for the first time again. Because it's such a magical game. So to see the joy in a young person's face as they explore the world of Skyrim, it's a wonderful thing.
See the horror when I accidentally do one of those like really cool cinematic deaths and I kill my house, Carl.
Yeah, those are.
Rest in peace, Lydia. You will never be forgotten.
Curtis, what you up to? What's your schedule looking like?
Right now I'm hitting Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays for the stream for the most part. But you guys can catch me Friday nights as well. I'm gonna put in some work, and I'm gonna try to get to Wednesday, Sunday nights as well. Sunday nights is gonna be hairy because my job be draining me, man. But reading comics on there, like I said, reading today. I did buy that Century comic, but I didn't read it on stream yet. So guess what I'm doing tomorrow morning?
Gonna get caught up.
I don't know if I'm gonna get caught. Well, no, that one. If I like it, because I didn't buy the whole thing. I bought issue one.
Okay.
If I like it, then I'm gonna buy the whole thing.
Did they get the whole volume out?
For the particular one that Corey's talking about, yeah, they got the whole volume. Okay. I think even for the newer one, I think they just put out either the first or the second volume. So, yeah.
Such a good character. Yeah. I'm probably still off the, I don't know, whenever The Bachelor comes back, that's when my regular streams will begin again. Typically just Monday nights and then sporadically throughout the week. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of the show. Don't forget to subscribe. For Curtis Fisher, the real David Alpha Web, my name is Nexi, saying Corey was here. Peace.
How dare you?